Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and through the internet deliver it to you. Today's message is part 6 of a 7-part Lenten series entitled From Ash, and today's specific message is entitled Confession Time, based off of Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. So let us dive into the Word today. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. The act of confession is one of the most powerful and important acts in the Christian life. It is an act that requires humility. It is an act that requires vulnerability. It is an act that requires a penitent heart. Penitence, of course, is the same as repentance. It is an act that requires a penitent heart. If I were to ask most Christians how one does become saved, I would probably get the following response. It's simple. You say the sinner's prayer, and you profess your belief in Jesus Christ. Simple. Anyone who professes their faith in Jesus Christ and believes in him are saved. Simple. Some might even drop off the sinner's prayer part and just stick with the latter part, that anyone who professes their faith in Jesus Christ and believes in him are saved. I've actually even seen the dropping of the confession of sins being done in communion, where we, for the sake of expediency and cutting down the time it takes, you know, because we're in a rush to get through communion, we just cut out things like the confession and pardon, which is a travesty that I'm sure all of us at some points are tempted to do, and I've fallen into that temptation. But the more I thought about it, it's a travesty. You can't remove the confession and pardon from communion. The confession and pardon is the very part that acknowledges we are sinners and need the grace of God. How can we receive the grace of God without that acknowledgement? Therefore, confession and pardon are vital and should never, ever, ever be removed from communion. Truth be told, both of these statements that I said above, are correct. You say the sinner's prayer and you profess your belief in Jesus Christ. Both of those statements are true. They're correct. However, how they get understood often misses the mark. First, what exactly is the sinner's prayer? Like, is that a thing? Is that in the Bible? Like, is the sinner's prayer something that Jesus taught? Well, not in such words, no. But it has become a phrase that is used in a way of acknowledging that you're a sinner. And so you're praying to God to forgive you for your sins. And here's an example of a sinner's prayer. This one Billy Graham offered up. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name, amen. CRU, formerly Campus Crusade for Christ, CRU, CRU, offers this. Lord Jesus, I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I open the door of my life and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for forgiving my sins and giving me eternal life. Take control of the throne of my life. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Amen. Now, both of these examples have an element of confession in them. And let's be clear, I'm not mocking these sorts of things at all. They're written in a such a way where it's easy to pray. It leads the people toward admitting they're a sinner and asking Jesus to take over their lives. I mean, those are all good things. And both of these examples do have an element of confession in them. However, notice that both are more professions, than they are confessions. They are convenient confessions at best, cheap confessions. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Amen. How vague, right? Like, I'm not really going to address my sins, not going to humbly acknowledge them before you. I'm just going to vaguely ask you to forgive all of them, whatever they may be, and move on from it. Now, that is not to say that people do or don't mean what they are praying, and I certainly believe that there are people who pray the sinner's prayer who truly heartfelt, in a heartfelt way, mean what they are praying, and in their hearts are acknowledging their sinfulness, and they are saved. I'm not saying that isn't the case. But what we've done here is we've simplified things, boiled it down, made it easy, made it palatable, made it consumable, as we do in America, and we sell it off as some cheap, quick, easy way of becoming saved. And we skip over the painful parts and get to the more exciting parts. You know, we skip over we don't skip it, but we gloss over the sin element and the feeling, regretting your sins and lamenting them and confessing them to God. We kind of gloss over that and get to the Jesus Christ is Lord and I am saved. Amen. Part. And that part gets the most focus. But the confession, the confession part in these sinner's prayers are quick and fairly painless. Unless, again, a penitent heart is praying it. They're fairly quick and painless. And the meat of the prayer is professional rather than confessional. Now, Protestants were right in pointing people to Scripture. I mean, that, if Scripture doesn't say something must be, then we need to question whether it must be when we're talking about the doctrines of the church. You know, when we're talking about confession, when we're talking about the sacraments, when we're talking about things that we're telling people you need to do in order to be Christian, or you need to believe in order to be Christian. Really, there's nothing you need to do in order to be Christian aside from confession and profession, right? But and then the Holy Spirit works God's justifying and sanctifying grace within that person and out of their changed heart, or their changing heart, comes the fruits of the Spirit. So God is doing the work in them. They're not doing the work in themselves. God is doing the work. But out of that work comes the social, social justice, social holiness, and the fruits of the Spirit. But Protestants were right in pointing people to Scripture. We were on to something when we said that we need not confess our sins to anyone but God directly through Jesus Christ. However, we did a disservice to the church by knocking the act of confession so much to the point that it becomes nothing more than an inner speed bump on the way to profession and salvation. We cheapen it. We literally created what Dietrich Bonhoeffer would call cheap grace. But rather, the grace we're seeking after is what Dietrich Bonhoeffer called costly grace. Lent is a long 40-day, not counting Sundays, 40-day season that is meant to bring us face to face with our sins. The areas of our life that we need to let go of, that we need to give up to God. From the ash onward. It's confession time. Lent is confession time. Sisters and brothers, let me proclaim this to you boldly and plainly. Without confession, there can be no profession. Without confession, there can be no profession. Think about it. Profession, without confession, is exactly what we saw transpire on Palm Sunday 2,000 years ago, where the very same people who professed Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Son of David, the King of the Jews, the very same people who professed that oh so cheaply on the road into Jerusalem, turned into the mob shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" only a week later. Not even a week later. Friends, confession is what leads us to true profession. It's that moment we realize that we are not worthy of God, that we have fallen so short of God's glorious standard. And we not only admit that, but we confess to God with all of our hearts the ways that we know we have fallen short. Yes, we can do this alone, but we should do this together as well. Church should not be the place where we are judged for our sins, but it is the place where we can confess our sins openly and be loved and given the grace and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And where others will walk alongside of us, and we will walk alongside of them, encouraging each other on this spiritual journey toward perfection. Where the Holy Spirit works through the body of Christ to bring about the forgiveness and healing from the sins that have separated us from God, and also to bring about the salvation and redemption and transformation that comes out of that healing. We come from ash. And none of us sit here today unsoiled, untainted, unsmudged by the soot of our sins. It's confession time. I challenge you to spend the next 6 days reflecting on your sin and how you are a contributor in Christ's death. I'll say that again, because I know this is challenging. I know this is hard to hear. I know we don't like to think of ourselves in this way. I challenge you to spend the next 6 days reflecting on your sin and how you are a contributor in Christ's death. We all are. I've provided you ample opportunity to walk with Jesus through Holy Week, I and Sal, I should say. And if you check out the Party on John cast, each day of the week, there will be a reflection published on the Party on Johncast regarding Jesus's activity on each day of Holy Week. And there will be Holy Week services, no doubt, going on in churches around where you live, if you're not living around ours. But in my church, every week I'm going to be leading a contemplative prayer service at 6 a.m. in the morning for people who want to come and start their day off reflecting on what Christ has done for them. This is a time for us to reflect on such things and to reflect on how we have contributed to the sin and evil we see in this world. I challenge you to utilize this Holy Week as confession time, so that on Easter Sunday, every one of our knees shall bow and every one of our tongues profess with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Amen. And so let us pray. Gracious and loving God, let us be a people who are confessional as much as we are professional. Let us not seek cheap grace, but let us seek out your costly grace, because it is that grace that will transform us from who we are into who you are creating us to be. Lord, each one of us who has accepted you in our hearts has become a new creature and is being worked in and worked on and worked through your amazing and sanctifying grace. For those of us, Lord, who maybe haven't accepted you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, I ask that you provide them the grace, as I know you already have, and the courage to come face to face with their sins, to use this week as a way of reflecting on their need for you, so that on Easter Sunday they may know without a shadow of a doubt that they are sinners, but that you also died for them and have taken away their sin if they but confess it to you and profess that you are Lord. Lord, we pray in your name that all of these things might happen this Holy Week. We pray this again in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I want to thank you for tuning in. And I would invite you to check out the links in the episode notes. And as I said, you'll see in the episode notes that there's a link to the Party on Johncast every week this week. Every day this week, Holy Week, there will be episodes released, 10 to 15 minute episodes, reflecting on what Jesus did, his activity during the week 2,000 years ago. It'll be a good time to just sit, listen, reflect, pray, and journey with Jesus through Holy Week. So I hope that you will tune into that. If you follow us on iTunes, you'll be notified by it. If you follow us through lifegivingwaterdevo.org, you'll be notified by it. So check out those places, and I hope that they're edifying for you. In the meantime, friends, remember you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing for others. Go in peace.